Okay. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Yoshinori Matsunobu. So I'm a production engineer at Meta. So today I'm going to talk about Myrox, MySQL, RocksDB storage engine for MySQL. So I'm using MySQL since 2004, so it's over 20 years. So I started using MySQL 4.0. Then I first worked at Sony, then joined MySQL company. Then after acquired by Sun and Oracle, then I left to some local Japanese gaming company. And since then, I joined Facebook in 2012. And after that, I was still working on MySQL. And a couple of years ago, we created RocksDB, the embedded RocksDB library. And we integrated into MySQL as a storage engine. So the Myrox is a RocksDB storage engine for MySQL, so we call it Myrox, but essentially it's a new storage engine, the storage engine for based on RocksDB. So RocksDB itself is also open source, so that is more active, the actively also created by Meta, that is GitHub. So the popular open source LSM, Log Structured Merge Tree Database libraries, I'm going to briefly talk about from next slide. The Myrox is a RocksDB engine and built into MySQL. So regular MySQL clients talk to MySQL server, and MySQL server layers like parser, optimizer, the replication, these are all the same, not affected. And only the storage engine, like a table, is different. And binary distribution is available from Pelican server. And also at Facebook's Meta, so we heavily use this. So we initially created Myrox for replacing a social database backend we call at UDB. So it serves Facebook, Instagram's social interactions like likes, comments, the like live comments or whatever. So all social activities are stored in the backend database called UDB. And UDB is very space bound service. And InnoDB using quite a lot of space because of the B3 architectures. So RocksDB is LSM. So LSM is technically saves more space. So that's why we wanted to migrate. And first Myrox, so there were several migration attempts like HBase, and they didn't work well. So because MySQL is pretty good database, so and HBase was not so great. So after creating Myrox, then that migration finally succeeded. So now we run the whole UDB as a Myrox with a RocksDB data format. And nowadays we are actively trying to migrate other use cases, like other random databases. So inside Meta, so we have many kinds of the random database services, like similar to Amazon RDS customers. So we are trying to migrate them. We are hitting several interesting issues. So some of them I can share today. So this is a brief architecture of the RocksDB. I'm talking about write path and read path. So this is a write path. So when write request comes to RocksDB, there is a transaction log called write head log, which is equivalent to InnoDB redo log. Transaction is committed to log file first. Then the change is kept in memory, which is called a write memtable. Then changes are accumulated in the memtable, and it's not touching to the backend file called SSD files. So until the memtables get full, then all changes are kept in memory, which means the write is very fast. And after memtable gets full, there's a background process called a flush happening. Then the flushing the memtable into a SSD file, the data file. Then after there are many SSD files, there's another background process called compactions happening to merging them, these SSD files, into a more compact ones, more space efficient, or the more efficient for reads. So the key message, key architecture difference is all write requests hitting to memory, so which means no random write, random reads triggered, so which is very fast. And also the compaction is the SSD file level, so which is more efficient compared to B3 in the DB type. On the other hand, read path is a bit more complex because there are many places the data is managed. The one is the SSD file. So if the data is not in memtable or block cache, then the files in SSD file needs to be read and cached in the block cache. But also the users may change in the memtable. Then when the memtable is written, then this data is not in the block cache or SSD file yet. So there's some process called merge, the merging from a memtable and reading from block cache, then the merging the results and returning the most latest record to the client. So this step is needed. So this is more expensive compared to B3. So there's a clear trade-off, the general characteristics of the LSM database. So I'm talking about LocksDB, but this applies for any other the LSM database architectures like HBase. But the space is much smaller because that's light optimized and the space optimized database. So the space is much smaller, light performance is good, and light using the less CPU and higher write throughput, and that also means the replication lags less often, so which is much easier to manage the fighting with the replication lags. But instead, the reads are more expensive, so especially if you're doing a lots of range scans or deleting lots of records and doing a range scans, that is quite expensive. I'm going to briefly talk about later. Yeah, so from these are the overview of the LocksDB architectures. So from next slide, I'm going to talk about the recent developments we have done in the MyLocks and LocksDB. So the first part is a Chrome plugin. So Chrome plugin is it's plugin, so it's available in InnoDB, it's of upstream InnoDB as well. And this is great. So we implemented for the MyLocks as well, as a MyLocks plugin. So the main objective is deprecating extra backup. So the completely handling the database copies within the MySQL server. So the main benefit of the Chrome plugin is there are several benefits managed by server, so you don't need external process. But to me, for Meta, one of the biggest benefits is you can control the target copy speed with a Chrome plugin. And the speed can be much faster. So if you use the extra backup, the streaming copy, so we used to use that, then when streaming copies, then everything is a single thread. So if the machine is slow clock speed, or if you copy to a different regions, like from US, the West Coast to Europe, then that is a very long distance. So if you copy with single thread, then copy speed tend to go down, like from 1 gigabyte per second to like 10, 20 megabytes per second or so. So if you want to copy the database quickly, then the single thread is often causing problems. But with Chrome plugins, you can set the target copy speed, then the Chrome plugin spawns the more threads as needed, then the copying the massively large data when needed, using more CPUs, but the copy speed is more guaranteed. So that means the copy speed is predictable. That is much easier to operate for us, because you know that by when the copy is finishing or not. So we are actively using that. So if you're using InnoDB and you're not Chrome plugin yet, then that's a pretty useful feature. So I generally recommend for that. The second part is read-free replication. So we are inspired by this feature from a TalkDB. So that was got some attention about 10 years ago. So TalkDB is an early stage LSM database, so that supports read-free replication. The concept is LSM database, you can put the data, if you have all the previous record images, you can insert in the database without reading record. So with row-based binary log, the primary keys of the change in row image is available in the bin log. So by reading the bin logs, you can compose all the change APIs that are needed to send to LocksDB. So you don't have to read anything from MyLocks, the database. So default behavior is when change comes, then replicas read from LocksDB by primary key to change the which record is changed, then composing a LocksAB API called delete or put to send the actual LocksAB API calls, then changing that. So that involves the primary key lookup that is not zero cost. So if there are massive updates from a primary instance, then the random reads overhead is getting problems and sometimes replica lags. But with read-free replications, you can see the all changes in the bin log, so that you can just compose a LocksAB API that doesn't need any random reads. So we had this feature, we created this feature for a long time ago, but the recent AI use case, so some AI applications write a huge data to MySQL, MyLox, and then we started hitting a replica lag. So we enable a read-free replication for that. Then the replica catch-up speed went up to 6x, so the replica lag issue got resolved. So some of the new use cases, like a huge write rate, which is relatively uncommon in the MySQL world, but the newer trends changed some of the characteristics, and this feature paid off. So we are using that. So one challenge is, if you're using a traditional MySQL replication with a checking read from replicas, then it has a better consistency. Like if record doesn't exist, or if record duplicates, then that returns errors, like a duplicate key errors or key not found errors. So these are returned that tells that replica and primary are diverged or not. So that is a pretty good consistency guarantees, but with read-free replication, that guarantee is lost. So only the blindly changing to the replicas. So there are some trade-offs, but especially for write-intensive use cases, so this is pretty useful. The checksums, so it's a pretty basic requirement, but after we are adopting more use cases, so on massive scale, so sometimes the bit flip happened inside MyLox or in some of the LocksAB side. Or failing to decode a record, or some LocksAB block corruption happening, and that more strict behavior is maybe helpful. Like if the data is corrupted, and it's corrupted but the instance keeps running, and if we copy that instance to elsewhere, then the data can get spread to many replicas, so that is problematic. So we have more controllable features, like when the corrupted record found, then returning errors to the client, or just silently operating, or just aborting the machines. Or when LocksAB checksum failure, when cloning the instance, should we verify the checksum so that the corrupted data should not be replicated elsewhere. So these types of the controller features we are adding to the. So this is a bit higher level layers, but this is inspired from a Handler socket or InnoDB Memcache plugins from Oracle. But we also implemented some NoSQL interface. So at Facebook, Meta's and RPC, the de facto standard RPC is called Swift. So we implemented a Swift server inside MySQL server, then that receives the RPC request. Then talking to LocksAB by just directly composing LocksAB API calls, bypassing the SQL parser, the optimizer, so just some Swift API calls, then get or range scans to Swift server, then composing LocksAB API calls and some basic MySQL checks, like a table exists or not, or schema change is ongoing or so. Then directly talking to LocksAB, that saved quite good CPU. And our main use database called UDB is actually we don't allow the customers to send a random SQL because that's our main database. So we should uh,